chinuch issue.
So we started off yesterday seeing that there is a concept of chinuch. Today you saw more marmakomos, there's still more to see, about a mitzvah, apparently on a rabbanon level. That's what seems to be explicitly stated in some sources, although we suspect that that can't be the whole story. But the notion of an obligation with rabbanon that has children, older children, children who are at the age of understanding, but not yet at the age of majority, performing mitzvahs. So one point to begin with is there is a tension between the fact that the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, you get to see that today on Daf Kuf Yudalid. There the Gemara has, it was in the newer list, not everyone saw the newer list, apologies, but there is a newer list. So there was a discussion there about the question of Katan Ochel Nevelos, do we say Bezdin Mitzuvim Hafrisho? If you have a situation where a child is eating non-kosher food, does Bez Din have an obligation to stop him? So the question comes up, how could it be that the chinuch question and this question are being discussed in isolation of each other, even leaving aside the question of whether the conclusions are compatible? But they seem to be essentially the same question. So how is it that the conversations are happening separate from each other, whether or not they reach compatible conclusions? So, yes, sir? It means it seems like this is the same idea, right? That the idea that I should make my child do mitzvot, so we call chinuch, is the same idea that I should stop him from eating non-kosher food, which is that sugya yevamos about whether mitzvah l'hafrisho or not.
Can't say that's the same discussion?
It doesn't seem like it. You know, the players aren't the same. The answers aren't necessarily the same. It's not... you could theoretically harmonize them, and that's one answer to the approach. But on the surface, they seem to be discussing the question from different points. So how do we possibly keep them separated? How can we justify them being separate discussions? So, or more simply put, if there's a concept of chinuch, as sounds like from our Gemara, and from many other Gemaras, but it sounds like from our Gemara about Hilni Malka, so then of course, Bezdin Mitzuvim Lafrisho, what's the question? So what's the answer? How do they address that question? Anyone see any sources that talk about that? Okay, so we'll start with that. So what approaches do you see there? What approaches do the Tosfos Shanim tell us? Tosfos Shanim, by the way, is the same thing as Tosfos, just a printing issue, what gets printed where, but it's the same pedigree as a regular Tosfos. So what's their approach, yeah?
That perhaps when it comes to Yom Kippur in particular and how to prepare a tino, per se, Yom Kippur, might just be teaching the concept of the Nisa and Nasr Seichem, that's Nasr Seichem rather than teaching that to be asked.
Okay, so that's true what you're saying, but you're kind of skipping a step. You're explaining something that hasn't been put on the table yet by saying that. So what's the step in between?
So it's just trying to make it sound like chinuch only really applies to positive commands and
right.
Purposes, whereas...
Who does he quote to that effect?
Someone from Mitz.
Reb Elazar Metz, who was a major Rishon, who was the author of the Sefer Yirein. So it is a major Rishon. So he makes this chiluk that maybe, yeah, it is conceivable that we have a mitzvah of chinuch and yet we still have to question whether we would stop the child from eating treif, because, yes, maybe there's a distinction, positive mitzvahs, yes, but maybe not negative mitzvahs. Now that seems like a surprising distinction on the surface. Question about that?
How far would we take that?
How far would you like to go?
I mean, end up having a kid murdered.
Right, so you should not do that. So it's good that we clarified that. For lots of reasons, you should not let your kid murder someone. But you're highlighting the point that it seems very surprising, the notion that we should be okay with our children doing anything wrong, which especially to draw the distinction this way, to say Losa says somehow get our attention less than Asays, that could lead to some pretty negative consequences. So that's something which attracts our attention. What else? What else could you note about that? What other answers does Tosfos give? Anyone? There's at least two other answers that you find in Rishonim. Well, let's see, how else could you answer this question without necessarily looking to Rishonim?
Special din b'amidah.
Okay. Special din l'kulo, you're saying that.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit hard to justify. Could you explain why that would be? Because the truth is, it's actually a logic to say the opposite way. Because we have an attitude, this comes up, the halacha, it's a question of even having an infant nursed by a non-Jewish nurse. Because the assumption is that there's a spiritual impact that comes along with non-kosher food. So, if anything, one might be more machmir on that than other things. So that's a difficult distinction to sustain. So what other approaches could you possibly take? Tabidaya?
Actually, like that though, like maybe you can say that since this is a, you say this is a derabanan, so mm-hmm. there's no intrinsic, like the nesivus, there's no intrinsic thing that's wrong even mm-hmm. with somebody, with a kid who's eating nevela or has a nevela eating it. So
you're referring to the whole chinuch thing as a derabanan.
Yeah, if you say that chinuch is a derabanan, then mm-hmm. there's nothing intrinsically wrong with him. With the kid that has the nesivus, there's nothing wrong. So we won't say anything in that mm-hmm. situation. We don't need to.
But then why in mitzvos, yes? You know, I hear what you're saying. If the question was a little bit different, that might be a good answer. Right? If your question was, why is it that we let ketanim have non-kosher food and we're so concerned about adults having non-kosher food, so then an answer could be, well, because a ketanim would only be relevant on the rabbinical level, and once it's rabbinic, so then there's nothing that goes to the chefza, and that therefore we're concerned by adults because the chefza contains the spiritual poison, but for a child, since it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan, there's no spiritual poison, and that concern is less applicable. So I think that distinction could exist, but it would only answer a different question. Our question is more, how could we say at the same time, well, we know that you should make your child eat the sukkah, we know that you should make your child do mitzvos, but we're still not sure whether it should bother you if they're eating treif. That's it?
So it's part of what Jacob said when we were talking Seder today, but mm-hmm. perhaps there is something about when you do a positive mitzvah, that's like a great way to instill a certain ahava and mitzvos, mm-hmm. and that's something that's not, that those are all the yes, you can do this kind of thing, as opposed to the no, you can't do this, which is something which is, if you just start with the no's of Judaism, so it's going to make them not want to do things, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, that's going to be a negative experience with the halachic system.
It's fascinating if you're saying that there's something that contributes to the overall message of chinuch as a lasting force through that kind of focus. It's a fascinating interpretation. It's hard to imagine that's really the halachic thinking, but it would be interesting. This position of Rulazim and Metz has not been accepted by Poskim. It seems that it's a difficult position to sustain, but it is something that's interesting to think about, and interesting to try to figure out why such a distinction makes sense. And it's presumably not just because you have to reconcile these two sugyas, but there must be some svar behind it. Do you want to address that? So you're assuming it's only about sukkah, it's not about positive mitzvos in general. So the problem is that we do see it by other mitzvos. In fact, like Stanley was alluding to, where the Tosfos Hashanim were commenting, that was about Yom Kippur, which we have to address from two angles. First of all, isn't Yom Kippur a lo saseh? So that's what Sammy addressed, that no, maybe it's perceived as classified, categorized as a big mitzvah saseh to create a fast day on Yom Kippur, and therefore the negative details don't come to define it. But then still it's not sukkah per se. So, and we have it by a number of concepts. So it's going to be hard to use an answer that is just sukkah dependent. So just to put on the table at least the three different approaches here. One approach is to say it's a distinction between assays and los assays. A second approach is to say, and this is really in the language, that maybe it depends who are we talking to. Right? And if you pay close attention, the Gemara uses different language for both. So when it comes to this question of being mafresh from Isser, of separating one from the transgression, so who are we talking to? We're talking to Beis Din, which in halacha is a way of saying society. Does society have a responsibility to prevent this child from doing averus? While the mitzvah of chinuch is not really on the society. Who has the mitzvah of chinuch? Sorry? The parents. Now we will see a little bit of a question as to whether the mother and the father have equal obligations here. But it seems like the general answer of the parents is basically correct. It might just be the father, or it might be both parents, but that seems to be what we're talking about when we refer to chinuch. So that's another approach, that mitzvos, that's only for the parents, but the question of hafrasha from Isser, yeah, it's a given that the parents should not serve the child nevela. But we're talking about whether people beyond the parents have an obligation to prevent the child from eating a nevela. So that's where there is a question also. A third approach is simply to say that the two Gemaras are talking about different stages. That maybe when the Gemara takes it as a given that you should be training children in mitzvos, so we know, we saw from later on in the Masechta, that there are age requirements. That a child only becomes subject to chinuch once they reach the age where chinuch is possible, where chinuch is conceivable. But maybe the Gemara's suggestion about being mafresh from Isser, maybe that applies even at an earlier age. So maybe that's the question. Yes, we know that you have to train your children in mitzvos when they reach a certain age. But what about before that age? They're walking around eating nevelos. So are we obligated to stop that? That could be the question. So essentially those three answers are going to give us a little bit of a framework to build on. The question, the distinction of assays and los assays, I'll just throw out one other interesting parallel, and maybe you could think about whether this parallel helps us at all. But the question that often comes up about, it's actually a topic in this week's parsha, so it's a little bit of a synergy, but the first aliyah in Toldos is the source for the notion that the Avos kept all the mitzvos of the Torah. So there's always questions that come up, if that's true, how do you explain this, how do you explain that? So the Maharal of Prague, in his Gur Aryeh to Chumash, the Maharal maintains that the Avos did not keep every din in the Torah. They kept only the positive mitzvos, the mitzvos aseh, but not the los aseh. Again, that's very jarring to us because we tend to assume that at a minimum the aseh are necessary, the los aseh are less so. So what exactly is the basis for that distinction? God willing, we'll have to pick up with that next time. All right, who would like to daven for us? Israel, want to daven? Not Spanish this time, just Spanish,
Portuguese?
Yeah, Portuguese is fine.